Topic 148, Schools of Occultism. 1. Certain schools of occultism and of theosophical endeavor have claimed to be the sole repository of their, the Master's, teaching, and the sole outlet for their efforts, thereby limiting that which they do and formulating premises which time and circumstance will fail to substantiate. They work most assuredly through such groups of thinkers, and throw much of their force into the work of such organizations. Yet, nevertheless, they have their disciples and their followers everywhere, and work through many bodies and many aspects of teaching. Throughout the world, disciples of these masters have come into incarnation at this time with the sole intent of participating in the activities and occupations and truth dissemination of the various churches, sciences, and philosophies, and thus producing within the organization itself an expansion, a widening, and a disintegration where necessary, which might otherwise be impossible. It might be wise for occult students everywhere to recognize these facts and to cultivate the ability to recognize the hierarchical vibration as it demonstrates through the medium of disciples in the most unlikely places and groups. One point should here be stated in connection with the work of the masters through their disciples, and it is this. All the various schools of thought which are fostered by the energy of the lodge are in every case founded by a disciple or several disciples, and upon these disciples and not upon the master lies responsibility for results and the consequent karma. The method of procedure is somewhat as follows. The master reveals to a disciple the objective in view for an immediate little cycle and suggests to him that such and such a development would be desirable. It is the work of the disciple to ascertain the best method for bringing about the desired results, and to formulate the plans whereby a certain percentage of success will be possible. Then he launches his scheme, founds his society or organization, and disseminates the necessary teaching. Upon him rests the responsibility for choosing the right co-workers, for handing on the work to those best fitted, and for clothing the teaching in a presentable garb. All that the master does is to look on with interest and sympathy at the endeavor, as long as it holds its initial high ideal and proceeds with pure altruism on its way. The master is not to blame should the disciple show lack of discrimination in the choice of co-workers or evidence an inability to represent the truth. If he does well and the work proceeds as desired, the master will continue to pour his blessings upon the attempt. If he fails or his successors turn from the original impulse, thus disseminating error of any kind, in his love and in his sympathy, the master will withdraw that blessing, withhold his energy, and thus cease to stimulate that which had better die. Forms may come and go, and the interest of the master and his blessing pour through this or that channel. The work may proceed through one medium or another, but always the life force persists, shattering the form where it is inadequate, or utilizing it when it suffices for the immediate need. From Initiation, Human and Solar, pages 52 through 53. 2. The great hindrance to the work of the majority of the esoteric schools at this time is their sense of separateness and their intolerance of other schools and methods. The leaders of these schools need to absorb the following fact. All schools which recognize the influence of the Trans-Himalayan Lodge and whose workers are linked, consciously or unconsciously, with such masters of the wisdom as the Master Maurya or the Master K.H., form one school and are part of one discipline. There is therefore no essential conflict of interest, and on the inner side, if they are in any way functioning effectively, the various schools and presentations are regarded as a unity. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, p. page 15. 3. They should recognize that all students in analogous schools and working under the same spiritual impulses are members of the one school and are linked together in a basic subjective unity. Then will cease the present attempts to hinder each other's work by comparison of methods and techniques, by criticism and defamation, by warning and the cult of fear, and the insistence on exclusiveness. It is these attitudes and methods which at this time are hindering the entrance of the pure light of truth. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, pages 16 through 17.